the message in more
chat.
Now I can see the message. Okay. Om Agyantivinandasya Gyananjala Shalakaya Chakshirum Militam Mena Tasmai Shri Guru Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasa Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Okay, so Rajiv Prabhu and Angel Mataji, they are joined.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Hare
Krishna.
Yeah.
Prabhuji, I'm just
almost on the verge of finishing my dinner, but I can hear.
Oh, okay. No problem. Angel Mother is also there?
Yes, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Mataji. Okay. Last class we discussed about a few questions and today we can continue with Prabhupada Leela, but I have one important question that I want to address. And that question is, who is more important or which is more important, Guru or Shastra? So according to the ranking, which is more important, Guru or Shastra? That's a very important question. And then there will be follow-up questions also. But let's try to figure out which is more important, Guru or Shastra. So, what do the devotees think?
Guru is more important.
Okay, so everyone unanimously saying that Guru is more important. Okay. That is true, but it is not complete fact.
Guru
will lead us and
explain the
Shastras. Yeah, that's a very good answer. And this is actually the main reason why Guru is most important. But there is also another consideration. And so I want devotees to think, how can Shastra be more important than Guru? I mean, first of all, is it possible that Shastra can be more important than Guru? And if it is possible, then in what context?
Shastras to hai important, of course. Jaise Gita is spoken by Krishna, that is a Shastra only, na?
Yeah. So, see, I want a proper explanation, like not just a brief answer, but I would like to know the proper understanding.
Okay. Kind of what Angel Mataji stated, I will try to build on that only, using that as a base. So, Shastra is coming from, it is coming from God, right? Shastra is aparishya. So we say Shastra is coming from God. So Shastra is the original source of knowledge coming right from God. So Guru is sent to explain the Shastras. Okay. And we cannot understand everything of the Shastra without the help of the Guru. But then Shastra is important because those are the rule books. Okay, the rule books given by God Himself. So in that way, they are preceding the Guru who comes to explain them. And so in that way, I think that Shastra is important. But yes, again, like if we say which is more important, I am still going to maintain that without presence of Guru, we cannot understand Shastra. So Guru is the most important link between Shastra and our understanding of Shastra.
Okay. Yeah. Shastra is actually the manifestation of the Lord, the words of the Lord. So it is not different from the Lord. But I, you know, you mentioned that it is spoken by the Supreme Lord. And I think there is some difference here because we know that Shruti is that something which is heard. Mm-hmm. And Smriti is that something which is remembered. So now someone may say that Smriti is the manifestation of the sages' realizations. Mm-hmm. And they are putting it in words. Whereas Shruti is actually the direct manifestation, revelation of the Supreme Lord. And it is heard by the devotee. Mm. So what is, now, I think we have discussed which is more important, Shruti, Smriti. And we know that Smriti is actually more important. There are reasons for that. Although there is the absolute nature of both of them. They are both absolute in a holistic sense. It's non-different actually. The Smriti is also non-different from the Shruti. And this is stated by the Shruti itself because it is mentioned that everything is coming from the breathing of the Supreme Lord. So the Ityasas, the Puranas and the other Smritis, they are also manifesting from the breathing of the Supreme Lord. And in that sense, they are non-different from the Shrutis. And the Shrutis themselves, they go ahead to explain that Smritis are more important because they complete, or you can say the Puranas are more important because they complete. Purana basically means that which completes. So Purana means complete. And when you refer to Puranas in context with Shrutis, it is basically defining and it is completing the Shrutis. So that's why Puranas are more important. Shrutis are very difficult to understand. It is not meant for everyone to understand. It is meant for higher class of, especially for the Brahmanas, they can actually understand the meaning of Shrutis. I mean, this is what the traditional system is. But as far as the devotee is concerned, the devotees are transcended to Brahmanas also. So any devotee, they can understand Shruti also. But traditionally, it is assumed that Shruti is more complex. It is terse, esoteric. And that's why it requires the help of the Puranas. It's a supplementary. Okay. And that Purana only will complete the Shruti because it actually interprets and expresses the meaning of the Shruti. So now we know that here, because you know, you mentioned that the scriptures are the manifestation of the Supreme Lord, but it may not be necessary. The scriptures can be a realization of the revelation of sages also. And that's why I explained to you that there is no difference between Shruti and Smriti. So now, tell me one thing, that what is the source of scriptures? Is that the Supreme Lord or is that the sadhus?
Smritis are coming from sadhus. Smritis are the understanding or realization of the Shrutis coming from the sadhus. But Shrutis are what is spoken by the Lord.
Yeah, the Smriti is the realization of the sadhus, but it is also the historical facts and figures, which is dealing with the current situation. It is not something which they are interpreting, right. They are not explaining. It is just that when the Lord is conducting the Leela, they are realizing, they are getting revelation and they are describing that Leela. And they are describing the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Or the pastime of the devotees and whatever functioning is going on in the material world that they are describing in the Puranas. So actually, in one sense, you say that they both are connected to each other. You cannot, I mean, definitely, I would say that both are the source of the scriptures. Because, okay, even if the Supreme Lord is instructing to Brahma, but then definitely Brahma is passing down the legacy. And obviously, ultimately, the revelation part also, it is coming from the Supreme Lord. So in that sense, everything is coming from Supreme Lord. So the Supreme Lord is actually the one who is doing everything. And he is the source of both Shruti and Smriti. That's true. But at the same time, it is manifesting through the sages. So both are kind of sources. Okay, now, so now, yeah, so coming to your point, it's not necessary that scriptures are the words of the Lord, but they are also words of sadhus. That we have to understand. And now, having equated both of them, can we say that the Shrutis are, the Shastras are more important than the Guru or the sages?
But again, it's a circular, it's the argument, it's a circular argument, because you are saying scriptures includes Shruti and Smriti. Smriti are the realizations of the sages, which ultimately is also coming from the Lord, because the Lord is enlightening them from within. But without, from our perspective, if the sages are not there to give the Smritis, then how would we get the Smritis? And then ordinary people, lay people cannot understand the Shrutis. So in that way, the sages who are who become our guru, they are more important, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they are more important. I don't know whether we can say that they are qualitatively more important or not, but or like we cannot really assign a priority in that way, but I think they are the link. Without them, how will we know these things? Like, how will Shruti will remain esoteric to us? And they have given us. So from another angle, I'll say, okay, why do we say in every temple we have Vyasasan? We say that one who is sitting on the Vyasasan is a representative of Vyasdev. So that means the knowledge that we are going to receive through that, through the person who is speaking, who becomes the guru for that time, right? Or like the Shiksha guru for that period when he is speaking. He's a representative of Vyasdev. So that means if Vyasdev is not there, then how would we be able to get all this spiritual knowledge? So in that way, isn't the guru and the, like the gurus or the sadhus who are bringing down the knowledge to us in an assimilable way, aren't they more important?
Yeah. So see, there is no denying the fact that the guru is more important or the sadhus are more important. Just because they are actually able to explain to us in a layman's language, and depending on time, place, circumstances, they are able to help us understand and implement those instructions given in the scriptures. But now there is another consideration, and that consideration is from the view of what if the guru does not represent the scripture?
If the guru does not represent the scripture, then can we even use the term guru for that person?
Yeah. So then which is more important?
In that case, I'll put in another point. So we always said that there is three-pronged check for spiritual facts: guru, sadhu, shastra. So if guru is not following the scripture, then there are the sadhus, right? And then we have the scriptures. So it's like you defer, right? If one is not working out, if one is not consistent.
Yeah, but I, you know, so then the foundation again becomes the Shastra. That's the foundation, you know, because we can have, the Shastras does not depend on anything else. But the Guru, they have to represent the Shastra. Okay, it's not that the Shastra is supposed to represent. I mean, it's a fact that the Shastra is non-different from the Supreme Lord. But it's not necessary the Guru will be non-different from Shastra or representing the Shastra. So that is an important consideration. Right. And that's how we can say that the authority of the Shastra is actually then more important than the authority of Guru. So if a Guru will fall down, if the Guru will deviate, if the Guru does not represent the Shastra, if the Guru will contradict the Shastra, then obviously we have to follow the Shastra and we have to reject the Guru. So then Shastra is more important than the Guru. Okay, so this we have to understand properly. And see, this is very important because, see, now there are two things here. One is the position of Guru. And position basically means that what category the Guru is in, whether he is a Kanishta Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari, Uttama Adhikari. And
Good point. Yes, Prabhu.
One more point I forgot. I had 2 points in mind. Okay, anyways, if I recollect, then I will come back to it. But the Guru are in three categories. We have to remember that. Now, when we talk about Guru, generally, we refer to Guru as Srila Prabhupada in ISKCON. We don't think Guru as our Diksha Guru or Siksha Gurus, because he is not the Guru of any other disciple in ISKCON or any other devotee in ISKCON. He is the Guru of some devotees. Whereas Prabhupada is a Guru of the entire Sampradaya. Whoever is connected to ISKCON, Prabhupada is a preeminent Siksha Guru of each and every devotee. And because Prabhupada is a founder Acharya and he is also a liberated soul, that's why when we talk about Guru, it basically, in this context, Guru Sadhu Shastra, it refers to Srila Prabhupada. So if someone will ask you from outside of our Sampradaya that who is your Guru, which Guru you are following in ISKCON, and if Prabhupada would have been, I mean, if he was not our Guru, we would have named our Diksha Guru as our Guru, if Prabhupada was not the founder Acharya, or if ISKCON was following like the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, that every Guru is their own Acharya of that particular disciples, that Diksha Guru is generally the Acharya of that particular group of devotees. But here we know that Srila Prabhupada is actually the founder Acharya and we are supposed to follow that, follow Srila Prabhupada, and all Prabhupada disciples are also supposed to follow Srila Prabhupada. So even if the disciples of Prabhupada are our Gurujan, but because they are taking a lesser position or they are humbly representing Prabhupada, that's why the position of Prabhupada is superior to them. And the worship is also superior. And we are ultimately following the teachings of Srila Prabhupada. That is quite clear. I think everyone knows that in ISKCON now. So from that sense, you know, when you have a guru like Prabhupada, who is a liberated soul, whether he's coming from spiritual world or he's a perfected being, Prabhupada is the guru. He must represent Shastra. There is no doubt about it. So he is obviously Uttama Adhikari and he represents the Shastra in complete. He cannot deviate from Shastra and he may say certain things which are not found in the Shastra. Okay, that is definitely possible. We have seen that our Acharyas, Goswamis, they have mentioned certain things which are not found in Shastra sometimes. And so Srila Prabhupada also did say certain things which may not be found in Shastra, but it is never opposed to the Siddhant. It is never opposed to the principles, the Sampradaya principles, you know, they are in line with each other. So there is no question of Prabhupada contradicting the Shastra. You will not find anything Prabhupada said which will contradict the Shastra. Okay. Whereas, now if you come down to a lower level of a Guru, it is possible that, you know, because we know that we can deviate, we can fall down also. And we ourselves are refining and upgrading our philosophy, our realization with time. So when Prabhupada is speaking, he's speaking because, you know, he has seen Krishna face to face. So he's speaking directly from the absolute platform, whereas we speak from a subjective platform, and that platform gets refined over a period of time because we become matured in our understanding, we become more realized in our understanding. And so, obviously, there will be a difference. But one point is very important, that as long as the Madhyama, now obviously Kanishtha does not have knowledge of Shastra. They don't have so much knowledge of Shastra, so they will not be able to become teachers. Whereas Madhyamadhikaris, they have sound knowledge of Shastra, and they can present knowledge of Shastra, especially in line with Guru Sadhu Shastra. So when you repeat the words of Guru Sadhu Shastra, then you act on a transcendental platform, and then there is no question of committing any mistakes. But if you think something which is different from Guru Sadhu Shastra, then you have to be 100% confident that what you are saying is actually not contradicting the Shastra. Okay. Otherwise, there is a chance that the Madhyamadhikari, we are not talking about Kanishtha, because they cannot preach or they cannot teach others. So, generally the Madhyamadhikaris and Uttamadhikaris, they will teach. And Madhyamas, they may commit mistakes in their attempt. And I don't mean to say that we forget something, or even Prabhupada forgot some verses. He mixed up verses sometimes. And, grammatical mistakes are there in his writings and all. He himself has admitted that. So we are not talking about material faults in terms of knowing the language or speaking in the right way, or like, we are not talking about that. We are talking about establishing the Siddhanta thoroughly and say representing the Shastra in a perfect way, which means that if there is an answer in the Shastra, then obviously you can explain that. So you don't say something which is contrary to Shastra. Putra. That is the meaning. Okay. So
now we have to fix it. Okay, we'll fix it up.
Okay. So Madhyamadhikari, he has to preach from the platform of Guru Sadhu Shastra. Otherwise, there is a chance that there can be mistakes in the presentation of Shastra. But obviously, see, because the conditions of Sadhaka is they are with four defects, whereas Prabhupada is beyond four defects. Or Prabhupada or any other liberated soul, they are beyond these four defects. So what they said, that is taken to be absolute. And there is no question that they will contradict the Shastra. So from that point of view, we say that, yes, Prabhupada is more important than the Shastra, because there is no chance that Prabhupada will not represent the Shastra. And Prabhupada, because he is a Nitya Siddha, so he will, there is no question of any kind of misrepresentation of Shastra. Plus, because he is the one who is actually interpreting and explaining the Shastra to us, so definitely he becomes more important than the Shastra, because we cannot understand the Shastra directly. So in that sense, Guru definitely is important. Okay. But in the second category, where Madhyamadhikari is preaching, and while preaching, he may make some error or mistakes while presenting Shastra. And so then, you know, he has to admit and he has to accept and he has to rectify that. At least he should not say anything contrary to the Shastra. Certain times, you know, we may say something, we make some philosophical speculation, which is all right. But if we get the answer in Shastra, then obviously we have to rectify that. So these things are there. For the Kanishtha and Madhyama, then we have to see whether they are speaking from Shastra. And now in ISKCON, we can say that the ultimate authority in ISKCON, we know that is Srila Prabhupada. So if any devotee is presenting Prabhupada properly, then we follow that devotee. He may not be perfect devotee, but because he is presenting Guru Sadhu Shastra, then he is on a perfected platform. He is speaking from that platform. So we can follow that. So it is not wrong to question or have doubt in the devotee if whatever they are saying, you know, sometimes we may feel that, well, this is what this devotee is saying. So is this what Prabhupada also said? Or we may feel that this is not something that Prabhupada said. So then we may question that devotee, obviously in a humble way. And the devotee should be able to give some reference, some shastric reference to it. So either it has to be in Prabhupada's teachings or it should be in Shastra, either way. And it should be definitely understood in the context also. We should not unnecessarily doubt the devotees who are guiding us, but definitely we can question. If Prabhupada said something and we are saying something different, so how do we reconcile that or why we are saying like that? We can question like that. So this is called as representing Shastra from a translated platform. And I think it is very important for all the devotees. That's why each and every one of you, you are learning Shastra, you are understanding Shastra, you are trying to go deep into Shastra. And this is very important because if you want to be preachers, if you want to share this message with others, then you have to also speak on that platform. We should not unnecessarily speculate about certain things. I mean, technical details, we may provide something according to our realization and revelation. But when it comes to certain principles or certain important things, we should be careful to understand what Prabhupada said about it. And this is how he represents. Yeah, so, you know, with this, I wanted to share one recent example. I am not sure how many of you have heard about Morari Bapu, a very famous saintly person in India. He does a lot of Ram Katha. How many of you have heard about him?
Yeah, we heard about him, but never heard his Ram Katha. But we know that he performed his Ram Katha in Dubai also.
Okay.
Yes, Roger, we have heard.
Yeah, so I think others also probably must have heard. Maybe Nirvika also must have heard about him. And Swati Madari also. Okay. I mean, I think most of the Indians know Morari Bapu. Okay, so are you aware of the controversy that happened recently with him?
No, Prabhuji.
No idea, Prabhuji.
Really? Oh. I was also not aware because I don't watch news so much.
Prabhuji, he said that Balramji keeps drinking wine and something to that extent. I know he was very, and some sites even say that he's become very kind of like, so to say, he's become more in terms of favoring the Muslim community. I'm not sure about the second part, but definitely I know he has like tried to degrade the position of Balramji.
Oh yeah, I also got such video, just compared to Bhakti Vikas Maharaj and Morari Bapu. Yes, bro, I also had that video. I also saw.
Yeah. So not just Balram, but he has also blasphemed Krishna very aggressively. And that's extremely, extremely surprising because he's the one who has inspired many, many people. Now again, when I say inspired means people, they get attracted to such people, personalities. But how much devotion it is creating from within, that's a main question. So see, that is now again, I'm bringing this point because this is how we can understand the importance of connecting to Guru and Parampara. So you may connect to a Guru, but the Guru himself does not have a Parampara, then you are taking a risk. And so now everyone actually understands. See, Morari Bapu he's like Ravi Shankar. He's that popular in India. Especially his Ram Kathas, they are extremely, extremely popular. He's a very popular personality in entire India. So now when people, they hear such things, they were also shocked. How can he blaspheme Krishna so aggressively? You know, he said that Krishna and the entire Yadu family, his children, they were drunkards. And they destroyed each other by drinking and you know, getting intoxicated, and he was not able to save his family, his dynasty, and he was a total failure in establishing dharma. So he came to establish dharma, but and he was able to do it outside, but in his own family he was a complete failure, and that his entire family was a drunkard. So then he also spoke about Balram. So now this is the result of hearing from someone who is not connected to any guru parampara. It can, you know, people don't understand.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, your signal is very weak, Prabhuji. Sometimes it's very.
Okay, are others are able to hear me? Other devotees are able to hear?
Sorry, yes.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Sometimes it's just getting a bit upar niche, but mostly I can hear.
Yeah, we can hear.
Okay. Yeah, so definitely Krishna's. See, it is definitely most difficult to understand Krishna compared to any other incarnation, because Lord Ramchandra, everything thinks that he is Maryada Purushottam, and they are completely bewildered with Krishna's pastimes, because it is quite contrary to what Lord Ramchandra performed. So definitely it is very difficult to understand Krishna, and that's why it is very hard to become devotee of Krishna, because the process is of surrendering to him, and then Krishna can be known in tattva only when we surrender to the guru. So the acharyas very amazingly, they explain the Mosa Leela of the Lord. And I have already shared this earlier also, that the entire reason was destroying the Yadu family was to separate the Yadavas from the demigods. And actually this pastime did not happen only. It was a dream. Okay. It was a dream for the atheistic and materialistic people to mislead them. So they saw a dream. They saw a dream, and they concluded that it was a reality. Although this pastime did not happen only. This was a dream for the atheistic and materialistic class of people, but they believe it to be true, because you know, you see a dream, and sometimes a dream can be extremely real, in the sense that you enter in the dream and you see that dream. You see the entire things happening, right? So as long as you are inside the dream, you think that it is real. But once you are outside of that, you can understand it was just a dream. So materialistic people and theistic people, they have not understood that they have to come outside of that dream. They are in the dream. Okay.
Prabhuji, this was
an illusion. It was an illusion set by the Supreme Lord just to confuse them. Now the question can be asked is that why did Krishna perform such kind of illusion for these people? Because the ultimate goal of Krishna is to make everyone devotees. I mean, you know, that's the reason he has come, to give the conditioned soul chance to go back to him or come to him. So then why, like, you know, we see that during Lord Ramchandra's pastime, the ending portion of his pastime was very, very nice. It was so nice that although in Treta Yuga there were very, very extremely few people who were atheistic or they were materialistic, or like you can say like that. Obviously the dharma was three-fourth during time of, dharma was three-fourth, one-fourth was, or it was half, sorry. Satyuga, Trita Yuga, Dwapar. Yeah, that's right. So dharma was half, 50-50. In Trita Yuga it was So it was 3/4 during Trita Yuga, half during Dwapar Yuga, and 1/4 in Kali Yuga. Okay, so now coming back to that. So during Lord Ramchandra's pastime, every person saw that the associates of Lord Ramchandra, they are all entering the ocean, and they are right directly from that, they are going back to Godhead. So they are all becoming, you know, they are assuming Vishnu forms, and Lord Ramchandra also enters the ocean, and then he comes out with his original form, and everyone goes back to Godhead. So such a nice form. Everyone's faith will be multiplied right? By seeing this kind of arrangement. But here we see that Krishna has orchestrated such a ghastly leela that people definitely will become bewildered. They will lose faith in God. So why did Krishna do like that? So Nirvika, you had some comment?
I had actually wanted to ask that where is it written that this was actually all a dream? Like which Acharya has said this? That's what I wanted to ask.
Yeah, this is explained by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Okay. He has explained this in the 11th canto when there's a description of the Yadu dynasty, the destruction of the Yadu dynasty. And obviously, see, when the Acharya they say something, mostly or generally they will quote Shastras. Now, there may be direct references to this pastime as an illusion, or there may be indirect references to this pastime. But one thing is obvious, it is quite obvious that it's not possible that Krishna will. First of all, how can you also think of the destruction of the Yadu family? Very simple, because they are all eternal associates of the Supreme Lord. So it is not possible. It's a leela. Of course, it's a leela. Okay, one more thing. The entire pastime of Narad Muni coming and cursing, the Yadu children, and they are just having some fun. It's just a prank they are playing with all these sages, and they are quite young in their age. So how can just for a small prank, a great sage like Narad Muni get so angry? Is he out of control? He cannot control his senses. He becomes so angry that he curses. And that curse also, see the fact that, okay, even if he's cursing, one thing we cannot imagine is how can he curse the dynasty of Krishna to be destroyed? It is not in the scope of any devotee. There is no power by any person or any devotee. They can curse to destroy the dynasty of the Supreme Lord. And no devotee will do like that, first of all. Okay, because they all know how dear the Yadu dynasty is to the Supreme Lord. There is no question of anyone giving that kind of curse. So we can definitely understand that Narad Muni was cursing because it was the arrangement of the Supreme Lord, ultimately. Okay. Otherwise, it is not possible to curse like that. And that too for such a small thing. Generally children are playing mischief. We don't even chastise them. In fact, we humorously take it. We don't chastise them. So what to speak of destroying the entire dynasty? Obviously, it's not possible. Second thing is that if you remember, Gandhari had given a curse to Krishna that just because you had destroyed my entire dynasty, similarly your dynasty will also be destroyed. So now from external point of view, we can see that that's how the curse came from the mouth of Narad Muni, because Krishna was cursed from Gandhari. Okay, now again, even Gandhari is actually not subjected to give any curse to the Supreme Lord, and Supreme Lord is actually the one who is giving the reaction of the curses. So which curse can harm him? It's not possible that, we hear of Parikshit Maharaj, he is able to reverse the curse. Like we know that, when Sringi Rishi is cursing Parikshit Maharaj, Parikshit Maharaj is accepting that. He's not saying that, okay, I have the power to retaliate this curse and I will nullify this curse. He does not say like that. He will humbly accept it. And so similarly, Indra also, when he is cursed by Tvastha, who is the father of Vishwarupa. So when Tvastha is cursing Indra, Indra is also, it is given in the Shastra, in the Bhagavatam, that Indra had the ability to nullify the curse, but he did not. He accepted the curse and then he distributed that curse amongst four things. Amongst the water, amongst the land, amongst the women, and among the trees. Okay, that curse was divided. So now here we can clearly understand that who can dare curse the Supreme Lord? It is not possible. And what to speak of a Bhagavad devotee like, Mahabhagavat devotee like Narad Muni. He will never think of that also. So, we can clearly understand that this was not a curse which was issued from the mouth of Narad Muni. It was completely the arraignment of the Supreme Lord. So Vishwanatha Thakur explains, coming back to the question, that why Krishna bewildered all these people is because, for a simple reason, and that is that, you know, in Kali Yuga, Krishna has to mislead people. The faith has to go down. It should not be built up. So just like in Trita Yuga, Lord Ramchandra was building faith so that in the next Yuga, people will still continue their faith. But in order, because Krishna knew that Kali Yuga is now beginning, and only those kind of people will come in Kali Yuga who have very weak faith in the Supreme Lord. So in order to facilitate that, the Supreme Lord made such kind of arrangement.
Hare Krishna?
Yes. You have to say something, Madhuri? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So this curse was meant for the facilitating of the jivas coming in the material world and kind of giving up dharma with time. Okay. So this will propagate atheism in Kali Yuga. Otherwise, what would have happened? People would have saw the Lord departing
Hare Krishna, from the spiritual world
along with the associates. Yeah. Vinita Madhuri, you want to say something? Are you all able to hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah, we can hear you clearly.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yes.
I thought maybe Madhuri is just interrupting because she is not able to hear.
No, I don't think. In fact, now there is no disturbance at all.
Okay, good. Yeah. So this is the reason the Lord is performing all these pastimes. And we can understand only from the eyes of the Acharyas. There is no other way. Krishna's pastimes are like that, full of doubts. They're very bewildering and confusing. And they are apparently seemingly immoral to a lot of degree. So we know many of the pastimes. And then obviously Krishna is blamed for everything. He's blamed for Rasila. He's blamed for stealing. He's blamed for using diplomacy in Mahabharata. For cheating. Krishna is famous for everything. And he's also famous for leaving the battle, running from the battle, Ranchode. But I think this is Krishna's supremacy in the sense that he wants to prove that whatever I do, I am the best in everything. So even it may be from an immoral point of view, but he's the best in that also. So this is Krishna, this is our Supreme Lord. We can only understand the Supreme Lord from the eyes of Guru Sharma Shastra. That's why it is said that we can understand the Supreme Lord, or the process of devotional service is revealed through hearing. It is not by seeing. Okay, so is that clear?
Sorry, Prabhuji, I was disconnected. I was not able to hear. So how Yadu dynasty was destroyed?
So Mataji, can you hear the recording? Because I have gone through the entire thing for like 10
okay,
minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Prabhuji.
Yeah, you can refer to the recording. And the people like Murari Bapu, they are not aware of this. And they will unnecessarily criticize the Lord. They don't understand the character of Supreme Lord. And I think that's the reason he was just speaking about Ram, Lord Ramchandra, since a long time. He was not daring to speak anything about Krishna because I think he had no faith in Krishna. And by hearing the comments, now we can actually understand that he is probably a Mayavadi in disguise of a devotee. It's very clear that he doesn't understand who is the Supreme Person. And for a simple fact that Supreme, when you talk about God, you talk about Supreme Person. He's not material. He's transcendental. If he's also in a similar category like us, then obviously, why are we worshipping him? So now it seems that he was mistaking or he was understanding the pastimes of Supreme Lord on a material level, thinking that Krishna is also like us. Okay, and that's Mayavad, basically, in one sense. Because that's, you know, people may think that if he's like us, then we can also become like him. So it's like Mayavad philosophy. And so, you know, that's why Prabhupada was so concerned about worshipping demigods. And he was so heavy being connected to Guru Sadhu Shastra in a parampara. Because he understood the mentality of people. In general, people are mostly, they are Mayavadis in India. If you see, even apparently they externally may perform some kind of devotional service. But if you talk to them, you'll understand that actually they don't have proper conception about God. And they think that, they may also say that, well, who knows who is existing? Who knows that there is a Goloka? Who knows that the Supreme Lord is existing or not? They don't have faith in that. Yeah, so this is something that I just wanted to share because it was very important. Any comments or any other further questions?
Then does he, okay, I'm just curious about this. Okay, Krishna, he couldn't understand Krishna, and he understands Ram, and he thinks that Ram and Krishna are different.
I have heard certain portions of his, my grandmother used to listen from him, and sometimes my father and my mother also. And so I have heard certain excerpts of his class. But that time, you know, he is speaking mostly on devotional sentiments. And but one thing I know that what he was doing is, he was singing Bollywood tunes in his kathas.
Oh, sure. I think.
Yeah, he was doing that quite frequently. So he had like a lot of music going on in the kathas, in between the kathas. I have not heard him so much, but I definitely knew him right from the beginning because my family used to hear from him. I think that he probably does not even understand Lord Ramchandra completely.
Yeah, because I was going to
understand. This is the result.
Then if he really understands Ramchandra, which is unlikely.
You may say that he may probably understand to a more extent than Krishna, because I think that's a very general and common tendency amongst Indians. They can relate and they can understand Lord Ramchandra more. Because he is within the intentions of morality. Doing is like perfect moral. So, in that sense, I think people are more related to Lord Ramchandra. They can probably understand Lord Ramchandra. But again, in terms of the tattva, it's not necessary that he may have understood the tattva clearly.
Basically, he's trying to thrive on giving people some sorts of pious entertainment. That means. Because I'm sure he will not know about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He will not give any credit to Lord Chaitanya, who is again non-different from Krishna. So I'm pretty sure that will be the case. So it's just like he's playing on the sentiments of people who want to hear about, get some kind of pious credits out of hearing entertaining, charismatic talks about, about the lords. Maybe even demigods, about God and demigods. So basically, yeah, that was, I would think that is the case. So it's really, he's Mayavadi, he's ultimately an impersonalist who's just trying to get followers by providing them some sorts of pious entertainment.
Prabhuji, yeah. When he was in Dubai, he had come to Dubai, Murari Bapu. So he had even arranged, like, they had like all the, like, whoever his followers are there, they had arranged for such a lavish gathering for him over there in one of the hotels over there. The rent, and he had given like a 3-day katha over there. And the rent in that was in lakhs of dirhams. Dirhams is like, it's so expensive, yeah, that is. So, I mean, and yeah, he was like, he was happily accepting like everything. I mean, I know we are not saying that there's anything against it, but then there are even some standards which you might expect from someone of his caliber, if he was really of that caliber. It's not that my parents ever heard him or anything of that sort, but they held him in high regards. And when this came out, they completely, he really fell down terribly in their eyes. And I'm sure it's broken the faith of a lot of people. Because now they'll be thinking who to trust, whom not to trust. If they're doing this, who are the other people whom we can trust? It's more of the people themselves will be very bewildered, like seeing this kind of stuff from someone like him.
Yeah. Of course. I mean, see, this is the benefit and advantage of getting connected to Parampara. At least, so even if someone will fall down, but at least we know that the previous acharyas or the previous guru, they are in a very good standing and they are genuine. So here also in ISKCON, we have Srila Prabhupada as our main founder acharya. And if our main connection is with Srila Prabhupada, then even if the Diksha Guru or the Siksha Guru will fall down in the future, then still we will be connected to Prabhupada and ISKCON, because our loyalty and our strongest inspiration or the main inspiration was Srila Prabhupada. So it will not matter to us so much. Obviously, we will be definitely, there will be some setback, but it will give some strength to us to actually overcome that setback. Okay, so this is the greatest advantage of being connected to Parampara. It does not have any risk. Yeah, and I've also heard similar things that for his kathas, he was charging crores of rupees. I don't know. I'm not sure about it. But Rajiv Dixit had mentioned this in one of his lectures. I don't know what is the authenticity of Rajiv Dixit also, because Rajiv Dixit has also spoken certain things which is opposing to Shastra. And he also does not understand God.
Rajiv Dixit was basically a social reformer, but he is not having any Shastra Gyan, but he has a good heart. So if he is guided, he would not challenge. But he not did said anything with malintention. But there is true that all these gurus, they take so much money. So to that extent, he must have said truthful only. Nothing wrong.
Yeah, I mean, if they are just for organizing katha, they are charging so much. That's definitely wrong. And that clearly shows that Bhagavatam is never meant for, or any katha related to the Lord is never meant for doing any kind of business or earning money. If you do that, then you are most fallen person. And the overall effect of the katha also we can actually estimate and understand by what is the result. Because the result is that none of his followers, they have become devotees. He has not inspired them to get connected to the Supreme Lord. Okay, so we can clearly see that who has become devotees of the Supreme Lord. I mean, they may express their sentiments, but then they have to be thoroughly convinced that there is a Supreme Lord and the tattva behind him. Then only they can be referred to as devotees. So this is the case with any bona fide Vaishnava acharya in a sampradaya, that they can actually create that kind of faith in people. They can inspire that faith. They can fan the faith and they can build it up, because there is potency, there is purity. And it is clearly mentioned in the Shastra that Kalit Kalera Naam Dharma Shri Krishna Sankirtan Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tari Tara Tara Pravartana. So without the potency of Krishna, there is no possibility of actually preaching the glories of Supreme Lord. There is no effect as such. Yeah. Anyways, I think we all understand this point. So now let's come back to our Prabhupada Leela class. I am not able to locate where we had stopped last time. Okay. After Giriraj Maharaj's class, we had, this is before Giriraj Maharaj's class. Okay, I got it. So this is 19th of May, Tamal Krishna Goswami. From there we have to start. Okay, so Rajiv Prabhu, did you find that?
Prabhuji, I'm looking for it. 19th May, you said?
Yeah, 19th May.
Can you put that link now? If you copy that as a reply.
Okay, okay. Probably there is a lot of disturbance coming from. Okay, now it's gone.
Yeah, got it. Tamal Krishna Goswami, right?
Yeah.
Okay, should I start?
Yes, yes.
Okay, brother. Tamal Krishna Goswami. One time Prabhupada gave me a laddu as Prabhupada called them. He asked me what my impression of it was. 1 minute, please. He asked me what my impression of it was. And when I tasted it,
yes. If you will share the screen, it will be easy to read for everyone. Can I read? Can I share?
Mataji, of course. Given that link down.
Mataji, you can share it on the screen.
Okay, Prabhuji. Okay.
So he asked me what my impression of it was. And when I tasted it, I couldn't believe the taste. I said, it's not of this world. Prabhupada said, you're right. This is the same recipe that Mother Yashoda cooks for Krishna when he goes out to tend the cows. And Krishna likes them so much that he keeps extra in his pockets so that he can eat them throughout the day. When Prabhupada was speaking, it was clear to me that it was Mother Yashoda's recipe and Prabhupada knew it very well.
Yeah. So this is some indication of Prabhupada's transcendental vision in his pastimes with the Lord.
Correct.
Okay.
Next.
Vinita Madhuri, have you shared it? We are not able to see that.
Oh, I'm sharing it, Prabhuji. Just a minute. Let me check.
Okay. No problem. You can continue your efforts. And we'll continue reading.
Okay.
Janwa, Parikshit said, Srila Prabhupada, should we attend classes?
At is that it time, visible from?
So we can see that now.
Okay, Babaji, yes.
At that time, Bharadraj was taking the devotee artists to the Los Angeles County Art Museum, where we were studying art, and he was giving us sketching classes and so on. Srila Prabhupada said, yes. Parikshit said, but I mean, Srila Prabhupada said, yes, morning and evening classes. Parikshit interrupted him and said, but I mean, Srila Prabhupada interrupted him and said, morning and evening classes. Then Prabhupada said, by your attending these classes, you will please the Lord within your heart, and you will receive instructions from the Lord within. Actually, I didn't understand, Prabhuji. What was it?
Okay. Okay. This one. Yeah, so basically, he had a doubt that can we, you know, there are some devotees who are artists, proper disciples, and they are the service of doing painting and all. So they had a question about, you know, if we are not getting so much time, then can we go and hear the class? And so here Prabhupada says that morning, evening classes you have to attend. The idea is that the Lord, when you start painting, the Lord has to inspire you from within. Then only you can paint with spiritual potency. If you paint without understanding our philosophy or without hearing or chanting, then that kind of painting will be external. So in order to have the effect and purity to attract people, hearing classes was extremely important. So, yeah. So is that clear? So then, you know, the Lord will inspire from within.
Okay.
Is that clear? Yeah. Okay. Any questions? Okay. Continue.
Yeah. Hari, one day Prabhupada was alone in his room. Usually he was quiet, but this day he was laughing and talking to himself. I went by his room and I said, Prabhupada, what are you laughing at? Prabhupada said, the reason I was laughing was that I just remembered my past life.
Yeah.
I said, Prabhupada, what was your past life? Then he said, I was a medical person and I had not committed any sin. I had a guru. One day I remember it was raining and I was serving my guru. I was fanning my Guru Maharaj and he could see in the rain that there was one snake and he made me go kill that snake. Then he said, now I remember why my Guru Maharaj made me kill that snake. So I had taken birth again in this life to save so many snakes like you all.
Finally, we just came across something that I wanted to address. If you remember, I had asked devotees, you know, about Prabhupada's past life that he is mentioning like that. I think it was Rajiv Prabhu who had said that we would like to know about that. Right?
What, Prabhuji? About what?
About Prabhupada's past life. So how, like, you know, we say that he's Nitya Siddha, but he's also having a past life. Okay. Anyone remembers? We had brought this point. I had just shared in some context that Prabhupada also had some past life. And at the same time, we say that he's also Nitya Siddha. So, or we say that he's coming from spiritual world. So, okay, now I would like to hear devotee's response. So, who is Prabhupada? Is he from the spiritual world? Or was he a conditioned soul like us? Did he, did he perfect in his lifetime as Prabhupada? And before that, he was, as Prabhupada describes, that he was a medical person without any sin. So how do we understand this?
He was not Nitya Bada, definitely. He was Nitya Siddha.
Okay. So why, how come this past life reference is there?
So Acharyas, Prabhuji, they say, I never go back to the spiritual world. So he must be doing some seva. I mean, they are always put in some seva somewhere.
But this is happening in Prabhupada's early life, in early years, right? It's not like in a previous lifetime. I couldn't understand because he was a medical man in his lifetime only, right?
No, but this is past life, he's saying. Past life meaning it must be one of his previous lives.
Okay. Oh, so in the previous life also he was saying, oh, he was a medical man. Okay.
Yeah.
And that is what it appears to be.
Because I don't think Guru Maharaj made him kill a snake. Yeah, I've never heard that. I mean, in this life.
Yeah. Okay, so I want to share something. And Raji Prabhu has already pointed out a very important point that acharyas never go back to God. This is what Prabhupada stated. Probably devotees must have forgotten, but I will again read that portion. And we have discussed this in our Leela class only. So I will come to that. See, first of all, one thing is there that being followers of Prabhupada, we should not be bothered about his previous life. And Prabhupada himself says, and the Shastra also says, that the devotee or a disciple or any devotee, they should never analyze the past life of another devotee. They should never judge based on the life of another devotee. So, even though Prabhupada does mention about his past life, what is important is that, let's say he probably was, he descended from the spiritual world, probably, or, and that we can probably reconcile in some time. And the second consideration is that Prabhupada, let's say he did perfect in his own lifetime. So this is immaterial for us. This is this should not be taken as important for us, because in either case, he was a perfected being. Whether he came from his past life or whether he descended from spiritual world does not matter, because he did see Krishna face to face in his present lifetime. And there are ample evidences to support that. I think we have gone through many of them also. How Krishna saw, Prabhupada saw Krishna face to face. And he also spoke to Krishna. He also took instructions from Krishna. So these things are all clear. Right? So now I wanted to read one letter which I think probably I have shared. Maybe in the upcoming, for the upcoming classes I have shared. But this letter is quite relevant to this topic. Very relevant. And I will also go through the statement by Prabhupada that acharyas never go back to God. Okay, so let me read these two things. Okay, yeah. Okay, so this is letter to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and I wanted to ask devotees, if you all are there, if you are all attentive. Ujjwala Mataji, are you there?
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Yes.
Okay, you are following up, right, with the discussion.
Yes, Prabhu. Joined half an hour back.
Okay, what are your views on this? Did you hear anything about this?
Regarding Srila Prabhupada's previous birth and Nitya Siddha, this topic only, Prabhu.
Yeah.
One second, Prabhu. What I understand is, like today I was reading about this Narad Muni's previous life in Bhagavatam. So
okay.
Narad Muni also had the previous life as a servant maid. And before that he was okay. Gandharva. And then later on, again he took a birth. He was empowered by Krishna. So he could become worldwide, not worldwide, you can say universal wise preacher. He travels all around.
Yeah.
So similarly, Prabhupada also is an empowered devotee. Okay, he also had previous life as mentioned now. First time also I read this one, like about Prabhupada's previous life.
Okay.
So what I understand, it's similar way he's also empowered by the Lord to bring out this mission and be part of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's this thing.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for sharing a wonderful point about quoting example from Narad Muni. In fact, the letter which I'm going to read now, Prabhupada himself speaks about, he takes example of Narad Muni. So please hear attentively, everyone. So this is letter to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Los Angeles, 21 June, 1970. Paris. My dear Tamal, please accept my blessings. I beg to acknowledge receipt of your letter dated 18 June, 1970, sent by special delivery airmail. Krishna philosophy is understood as it is stated in the Vedas. Yasya deve para bhakti, yata deve tatha guru, tasya ite katiti artha prakashante mahatmanam. One who has unflinching faith in Supreme Lord and similar faith in his spiritual master, to him only the imports of Vedic knowledge become revealed. A spiritual master is always liberated. In any condition of his life, he should not be mistaken as ordinary human being. This position of spiritual master is achieved by three processes. One is called sadhana siddha. That means one who is liberated by executing the regulative principles of devotional service. Another is kripa siddha. One who is liberated by the mercy of Krishna or his devotee. And another is nitya siddha, who is never forgetful of Krishna throughout his whole life. These are the three features of the perfection of life. So far, Narad Muni is concerned. In his previous life, he was a maid servant's son, but by the mercy of the devotees, he later on became Siddha, and next life he appeared as Narada, with complete freedom to move anywhere by the grace of Lord. So even though he was in his previous life a maid servant's son, there was no impediment in the achievement of his spiritual, perfect spiritual life. Similarly, any living entity who is conditioned can achieve the perfectional state of life by the above mentioned processes, and the vivid example is Narad Muni. So I do not know why you have asked about my previous life. Whether I was subjected to the laws of material nature. So even though accepting that I was subjected to the laws of material nature, does it hamper in my becoming spiritual master? What is your opinion? From the life of Narad Muni, it is distinct that although he was a conditioned soul in his previous life, there was no impediment of his becoming the spiritual master. This law is applicable not only to the spiritual master, but to every living entity. There are thousands of examples explained in our books that the conditioned soul is never affected with the material body. It is said in the Vedas, Asamga Ayam Purusha, which means the living entity is always unaffected with matter. Another example is given that the reflection of the moon on water appears to be moving, but actually the moon is not moving, it is fixed up. So any living entity is like that. His reflection on the material body appears to be changing, but the spirit soul is fixed up. Therefore, this moment is called illusion. Liberation means liberation from this changing condition. So far I am concerned, I cannot say what I was in my previous life. But one great astrologer calculated that I was previously a physician and my life was sinless. Besides that, to corroborate the statement of Bhagavad Gita 6.41, Suchinam Srimatam Gehe Yoga Brashta Samyayate, which means an unfinished yogi takes birth in rich family or born of a Suchi or pious father. By the grace of Krishna, I got these two opportunities in the present life to be born of a pious father and brought up in one of the richest aristocratic families of Calcutta, Kashinath Malik. The Radha Krishna, see now here, the Radha Krishna deity in this family called me to meet him. And therefore, last time when I was in Calcutta, I stayed in that temple along with my American disciples. Although I had immense opportunities to indulge in the four principles of sinful life, because I was connected with a very aristocratic family, Krishna always saved me. And throughout my whole life, I do not know what is illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, gambling. So far my present life is concerned, I do not remember any part of my life when I was forgetful of Krishna. Yeah, so the letter continues, but other things are not relevant. Yeah, so any comments on this? Okay, let me also read the statement or the comment by Srila Prabhupada about Acharya never goes back to Acharya. So this is mentioned by Hansadukha Prabhu, and he says that once I asked Prabhupada, is it possible that a devotee's relationship with Krishna is preaching and that devotee remains in this world to preach? He doesn't go back to Godhead. Before I could finish, Prabhupada said, yes, the Acharyas never go back to Godhead. They remain in the material world, traveling from one planet to another planet, preaching Krishna consciousness. I said, since the Acharya is a pure devotee, then isn't he simultaneously in the spiritual world? Why, even while he is preaching in the material world, so it doesn't make any difference that apparently he is in the material world. Prabhupada said, yes, something like that. Okay, so this is something by Srila Prabhupada. Now, Giriraj Maharaj recently shared with me something connected to this. And I will read that. Okay, so Srila Prabhupada, so Maharaj shared, and he said that Srila Prabhupada said something similar about his Guru Maharaj. So first I shared with Maharaj this particular statement by Prabhupada, and then he also shared something. And so he said, Prabhupada said something similar about his Guru Maharaj. So now this is from a lecture on 8th of February 1977 in Mayapur. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's appearance day. So Prabhupada said, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, our master, spiritual master, came in the world to execute the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he executed it, and when it was required, he left this place and went to another place to do the same business. So this is a small excerpt from a lecture by Srila Prabhupada, who he is also speaking the same tattva about his Guru Maharaj. So now we have these references. So what do you think now? You can actually reconcile all these things. We can reconcile all these things, and this is the uniqueness of transcendental knowledge. This is the amazing aspect of transcendental knowledge, that everything is possible and nothing is contrary. Everything can be adjusted. This amazing thing about Krishna consciousness. Okay, so I would like to ask devotees if they have any comments on this.
Prabhuji, first I have a query. That when Prabhupada says that he might be subject to the rules, the laws of conditional, conditioned soul. He might have been a conditioned soul in previous life. But the fact remains that he's a Nitya Siddha, right?
Okay, let me, I also forgot to share two other articles which are relevant to this, which will give the aspect of Prabhupada coming to this material world from the spiritual world. Okay, so I would like to share that also. Okay, do you remember the example of, when we are having our class, I have shared this article by Bhavanand Prabhu. And he mentioned that there was a discussion between Prabhupada and Krishna. And Krishna wanted him to go to the material world, but Prabhupada was denying. And then finally Krishna said that you go and write Bhaktivedanta purports. So then he agreed. Do you remember?
I remember hearing this part.
Yeah, so I'm trying to locate that article also because I have shared that. Okay, anyways, I have already mentioned the brief discussion and I'm not able to locate it right now. I'll have to properly think and search, then I will get the article. But if any one of you can, you know, if you are able to search the article, then you can definitely share it again. So this is what Bhavanand Prabhu had shared, that Krishna instructed Prabhupada to come to the material world to give his BBT purpose. Now with reference to this, I would like to read another thing, another similar thing, which Satwarup Maharaj has also mentioned. Okay, yeah. So this is Satwarup Maharaj. And he says, as an empowered, loving agent of Krishna, Prabhupada has the power to take us back to world. I have been reading his Jaldutta and New York Diaries. Krishna said to Prabhupada, you go in the material world, fit into the dissolute succession in a very special way and bring all these souls back. So again, here we see there are two references that how Krishna is asking Prabhupada to come to the material world. So this indicates that Prabhupada is present in the spiritual world, right? So we have two references of Prabhupada's previous life, two references of Prabhupada's coming from the spiritual world, and there are two references, two. So two references which says that Acharya never goes back to world. Now, so what are your comments now?
So it's the same thing happening then, that it's a soul being empowered, a conditioned soul being empowered by an Nitya Siddha. Is that it?
Okay, yeah. So basically, Prabhupada himself talks about Narad Muni's example, and Ujjwala Mataji also spoke about Narad Muni's example. In fact, there is another example of Prahlad Maharaj, who is also in the same category as that of Narad Muni. Because we know that Prahlad Maharaj also had a previous lifetime. And at the same time, we also say that he's a Nitya Siddha. So similarly here, now see, it is not so difficult to reconcile these things. But before coming to that, any devotee would like to mention anything on this? Any comment? Any question or comment? Okay. So, see, the thing is that how can we reconcile all these things is not so difficult to understand, because yes, Prabhupada had a previous life. Let's assume. Because Prabhupada mentioned twice. Now, see, it's interesting to note that one time Prabhupada directly mentioned to one of his disciples. And see, if you have heard attentively, first Prabhupada is saying that I am not aware of my previous life, but one astrologer told me that I was a medical person in the past life and I was sinless. Okay. So here Prabhupada in this letter, he is not revealing his past life. Whereas to Haridas Prabhu, he is clearly revealing his past life. And he is also providing more details. He is saying that I was telling my Guru Maharaj and he saw a snake and he asked me to kill the snake. Right. So he is adding to that. Plus, there is one common thing which is in this narration and in Prabhupada's narration, that he was a medical person, he was a physician, and he was sinless. So this is common. And then Prabhupada is adding further to his narration. So, yes, okay. So because Prabhupada said, we accept that he had a past life. Prabhupada also said, Acharyas don't go back to Godhead. We accept that. And we also hear about Prabhupada's descending from the spiritual world because Krishna wanted him to come. So now we can reconcile all these things by saying that Prabhupada is there in the spiritual world. He's also in the material world. Right? And regarding his previous life, so see, if you consider the fact that Acharyas never go back to Godhead, then obviously Prabhupada has a previous life. And in that previous life also, maybe he is fully perfect. Because he does mention that he was sinless. Okay, so he is perfect probably, or let's assume that even if he is not perfect, then it is definitely possible that he attained perfection in that lifetime, went back to Godhead, and then descended. Okay, so if you just consider the fact that Acharyas never go back to Godhead and he descended, you can reconcile both of these things by saying that Prabhupada was in the material world, he's always in the material world, and at the same time he's also in the spiritual world. So that reconciles the Acharya never goes back to Godhead. At the same time, he's also there in the spiritual world. So basically you can say that it's an expansion. Right? So all these things are reconciled.
Prabhu, can you share that letter also, which you read right now?
It's just above, Mataji. The PL set, you know, you are displaying that. It is above that letter only. Or you are asking about the Tamal Krishna Maharaj letter.
Yes, Prabhuji. I am not aware of my past life, but some astrologer told me I am asking about that letter.
Yeah, that I have shared. Actually, in the group I have shared, I think. But I think maybe it is just after few days or few months or something like that. I think that also I have shared. Any case, I will share it once again.
Okay, thank you.
All right. So is this clear to everyone? Any question? See, the most important aspect is that he is a perfected being when he was in the position of Srila Prabhupada. He saw Krishna face to face. So that definitely means he descended from spiritual world, or he, even if he was in the perfecting stage as Srila Prabhupada, but he achieved perfection quite early. In fact, you know, Prabhupada says also in this letter that there was never a time in my life where I have not forgotten Krishna, and I don't know what is the regulative principles, right? So maybe we can understand from this that when Prabhupada took birth, in his lifetime, he was anyways very advanced. He was probably at the stage of Asakti or Bhava, and then in a few years time, or you know, maybe early, he probably attained Prema. Because one thing we know for sure, that before coming to Vrindavan, before taking sannyas, I think, you know, Prabhupada definitely was perfected, because he saw Krishna face to face in many, many occasions. And that is not possible unless one attains perfection. Okay, so this is assuming that he was a sadhaka, but he was a very advanced sadhaka. Okay, although I would say that to me it sounds like, after going through all these references, it sounds to me that Acharyas never go back to Godhead, and Prabhupada is also there in the spiritual world. It's, you know, in expanded form probably. That is what it makes sense to me. And I also think that probably must have descended from the spiritual world. So that's how I reconcile all these things. And but one thing is very important. See, it is, even if Prabhupada was a sadhaka, let's assume that he was a very advanced sadhaka in his lifetime, but there is something which is very unique about him, and that is that he was a Saktavesh avatar. We should not forget that. And that's a very unique distinction. So even if a devotee might have bhava or prema, but the fact that he is empowered by the Supreme Lord, which means that Nityanand Prabhu Avesh is there. Nityanand Prabhu, you know, like I was discussing with, I think last class I discussed, no, or maybe in the CC class, I discussed that Prabhupada said that, you know, when he was asked about his spiritual color, the body of his color, the color of his spiritual body, he was asked about that. Prabhupada replied that my color is yellow tinged with red in the spiritual world or the spiritual body. So that does mean, and then Chandramouli Maharaj, he says that if we see the scriptures, we find that this is the color of Nityananda Prabhu. Okay, so now Nityananda Avesh was probably there in Prabhupada. That's why, you know, he's talking about his color being yellow tinged with red. Right? So, the point is that he was definitely perfected being, and we can, there are references that say that he has descended. So that's why I say that I think Acharyas never go back to Godhead, and he's there in the spiritual world also. That's the perfect answer to this question. Okay, any comments or questions?
But Acharyas, in all their lives, okay, in whichever world they are going to preach, they will accept authority. They will accept parampara, right? To set an example. Is that right?
Yeah. They set an example. Another angle of vision to you see this is that when Prabhupada is referring to his previous life, it is also possible that he may be referring to himself in Gaur Leela. You know, he might be in Gaur Leela, and then this incident would have happened. And you know, he's just not mentioning that. This is also a possibility. So it is not just that he was a sadhaka. Maybe in the previous life, he's just remembering his past life. Which may be in Gaur Leela also. Okay, so we never know. And obviously, see, certain things, what Prabhupada says, we cannot understand completely also many times, because they are all beyond our senses and mind to perceive. So we cannot try to analyze what Prabhupada said, you know, but according to our understanding and maturity, we can have some kind of philosophical conclusion. And I think it makes sense, actually, that all these possibilities can exist together. But I just shared another possibility. Okay. Any other question or comment? Ujwala Mataji, would you like to share something?
Prabhuji, can I read, Prabhuji? Then you can mute me after that, because I have to go back otherwise to mute myself.
Yeah, but I'm just asking a question to Ujwala Mataji.
Okay, you are. So after that, Sorry.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Yeah, you have any comments?
No, Prabhuji, you have reconciled clearly.
Okay.
Okay. So in any of the aspects, even you can take him as the Sadhaka Siddha or Kripa Siddha, Nitya Siddha, whatever, he's a perfect being in all aspects.
Yeah.
In all aspects, he's a perfect being and empowered by the Lord.
Yeah. Of course, you know, we are discussing this, and I think even ISKCON devotees also, ISKCON senior devotees, GVC members, they also are obviously trying to understand Prabhupada's position. Although, maybe it is beyond our conception, but I think the reason we do this is just to protect or defend Prabhupada's position. We should not get criticism from outside that your guru was actually a sadhaka, and he must have attained perfection later. So, but still he was a sadhaka, or he was conditioned to some degree. And that's why we cannot take your guru as an acharya or something. No. If people say things like that, then we have counter reasons also. We can definitely defend Prabhupada's position.
Prabhuji,
Prabhuji, there is even this, he even told one of his disciples, right, that who asked him, what are you going to do in your next life or something? Like, where are you going to go? And I think in that he mentions that he's going
Hellish
to go
planets.
To planet. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, so Prabhupada does mention that, that, you know, he will, I do remember. In fact, I think I have shared this or probably I have read this earlier, that one of the disciples of Prabhupada is asking Prabhupada, that Prabhupada, after finishing this life, where will you go? And Prabhupada said, I will go to the hellish planets. And then the disciple is surprised, and then Prabhupada says, for preaching. So, again, you know, the same principle that acharyas never go back to what it. So here also Prabhupada is in a similar way answering this. Yeah. Okay. Swati Matari, Angel Matari, any questions or comments? Okay, no comments, I think. I would also like to share one, just recollected. If you remember, I was going to mention two points from the discussion of Guru and Shastra, who is more important. So I did recollect the first point now. And I think, yeah, so it is also important, the Guru must be able to reconcile and they must be able to explain the Tattva to the disciples. And that's how they should be expert in that. And this is the reason why we discussed about the different types of devotees, the Kanishta, Madhyama, and Uttama. So Uttama, definitely we know that they are extremely thorough in Shastra. They cannot be defeated by anyone. And Madhyama is very firm in Shastra, but sometimes they may be not be able to convince someone. Although they are themselves... they are very firm in their understanding and conviction of Shastra. They know the Shastra very thoroughly also, but they may not be able to explain it to others. So in that sense also, the position of Guru will definitely matter. That is why it is very important to represent Guru Sadhu Shastra as much as possible. Okay. Angel Mataji, Swati Mataji, I just wanted to know if you were to follow and understand this.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Prabhuji, Angel does dwindle into her sleep.
Oh. So it's a very critical and crucial topic. But I think I should... I would suggest her if she can hear the recording.
I'll definitely tell her, Prabhuji.
Okay. One thing I would like to request devotees that when devotees are speaking, at least maybe time they can turn on their videos, because at least it will be a more personal conversation. Just like, you know, Girijat Parker also requested me. That time when I was asking question that it is more personal if you can see the devotees, because here I'm the only one speaking and my video is on, but whenever devotees take turns to speak, at least they can start their video, and I think it will be more personal. And another thing I wanted to mention is in our CC class that we should have Kirtan also. This is something which is deeply missing in our association, especially during the lockdown, because now we are not able to associate with devotees. So I wanted to know if devotees, we all can do Kirtan together for 15 minutes before the class next time.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Aritra, but you'll have to turn on your video.
My video, there is a problem. It doesn't work. That's why I don't turn it on.
But then why are you not fixing it up?
Because this is not my... I use my office computer. I disabled the camera only. And I don't have another computer.
Oh, okay. Yeah, then you can buy a camera. Webcam you can buy.
Oh.
But you can join from your mobile also.
That's a good idea also. Oh, that you can join from your, but it's not so comfortable. That is there. We are hankering to see your, Lotus face since a long time.
Lotus face. Okay.
yes. I second that.
Okay. We'll. I'll try to join through my phone, okay, so that you can see the Lotus face.
It should be comfortable, bro. It's not necessary. Obviously, it's not necessary.
I've never actually used the Zoom on phone like with video, but I'll try.
Okay, no problem. That's fine. I mean, devotees should be comfortable also. It's not necessary that if they have some. Reasoning, then it's okay.
Nah. Yeah, that's okay.
Okay. So, Padari, you can turn on your video and you can start reading.
So, were you telling to me?
Yeah.
Prabhuji, I'm reading from screen, so how I will turn my video, Prabhuji?
So your video is not on?
Or? No.
You are reading from the phone, right?
Yes, Prabhuji.
So you cannot do it simultaneously?
No, Prabhuji, no.
Okay, no problem. You can continue reading.
Okay, so can I continue, Prabhuji?
Prabhu, small question. That's what I said. If I can.
Yes, Madhuri.
Prabhu, I heard WhatsApp this only. One of our ISKCON devotees, they were asking, they were giving the lecture clipping. It was for 5 minutes or something like that. There he told that, this lifetime we have taken up chanting of Krishna consciousness. It's fine. If you perfect in this lifetime, that's good. You'll go back to Godhead. If you have not perfected your life, he was telling that you might go to higher planetary system and there you'll enjoy for 30, 40 years and you'll come back by the time Sankirtan Yajna would be over. What is your condition then? Where you will end up? Very dangerous position you are in. And at the end, he added one more point like, it's better if you have not taken at least next lifetime. Nearby, you'll come when Sankirtan Yajna is there and you can take it up. And so that was like, when you are into Krishna consciousness, everybody cannot perfect their in this very lifetime. Yeah, as Prabhupada said, yes, if you truly surrender, 1 second or one moment is enough. But everybody is not like that. Like me, conditioned souls, like we're trying to come out. And so when I heard that one, and that was forwarded by one of the Bhakti Riksha members. So people will have the doubt. How it is possible? What will happen? What will be the destination? And even I think we discussed sometime back in this class or somewhere, I heard about Jayananda Prabhuji. Prabhupada is talking about his destination. One time he says, when they said Jayananda passed away, then he said, what would be his destination? He would go to higher planetary system. If he perfects there, his devotional service, from there he can go to Goloka. Otherwise, he'll come back into Suchinam Srimatam Gehe and then he will be perfected and then he can go back. And then when after a few days, I think it is Samal Krishna Goswami Maharaj diaries only. After a week time, they were discussing about Jayananda, how he passed. Because when he was very much in pain, they were explaining Prabhupada how he left his body. They said he held tightly the tape recorder from where Prabhupada's lecture was coming and then he left his body. Then Prabhupada immediately said, yeah, he must have gone back. Definitely. So, and then he said, everybody should have his picture on Rathas and so on it comes. So, if you are not perfected in this lifetime, are you going to go to higher planetary systems? In Jayananda's case, when Prabhupada said, you go to higher planetary systems, and then from there, if you have perfected, you can go back to Goloka from there. So, that higher planetary systems is definitely not Sargaloka and all those things. But this Prabhu, in his lecture, he said, he did mention as Swargalokas. you will enjoy for some time and you have to come back. By the time Sankirtan Yajna will not be there, then what is your condition? So better. Okay, he was telling in a positive sense so that we can take this seriously and perfect our lives. But people like me, where we'll find things in between the lines, I caught up there, like, what will happen if at all we are not able to? I think Prabhu left.
Well, if Prabhu will left, then we will also be disconnected, Mataji.
No, Mataji, I am the host.
Yeah, oh, you are the left.
Yes.
Yeah, Prabhuji is not there.
Yeah, he's typing. Prabhuji is typing something. Yeah.
Prabhu, normally if he gets disconnected, he'll keep a message in group, no?
Yeah, he's messaging, Mataji. He's typing. He's typing something.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I think he sent someone message also. This, if I will go back, that it will take a lot of
time. Suddenly I got disconnected, yeah.
Okay. He wrote that. Is my screen is visible?
Yeah, it's visible, Mataji.
Okay.
Hare Krishna
Prabhu.
I just suddenly, my 5G connection got disconnected completely.
Oh.
So then, okay. So do you hear, I did mention about Srila Prabhupada saying that, for my disciples, mm-hmm. initiated disciples, 3 lifetimes.
Okay.
I did mention, I don't know if you were able to hear that. But this is one possibility, because Prabhupada said that 3 lifetimes are sufficient. in fact, what I've heard is Gaudiya Vaishnava devotees, they say that first life is, aparad, life of aparad. Devotee has nama aparad, stage of nama aparad. Second lifetime, nama vas. And third lifetime, shudhanam. So, in that sense, three lifetimes are sufficient. Now, the standard of going back to Godhead, and I have mentioned this a couple of times. This is a very personal thing. It's not necessary that whatever will apply to certain devotees, the same will apply to other devotees also. And I have also stated earlier that advanced devotees, they can go back to, they will not go back to Godhead. And less advanced devotees may go back to Godhead. So we see that, Jayanand Prabhu's case, it is very interesting that Prabhupada writes two different ways. And it's not exactly what you have described. He writes that in the first letter, he writes that if Jayananda had a tinge of material desire, then probably he will go to the heavenly planets. And then from there, he will come down to this material world and he will take birth in an aristocratic family or a family of Brahmanas and he will continue his devotion. And in the second letter, Prabhupada says that he has gone to Krishna Loka. So,
yeah, first letter I heard that also, Prabhu. As you said, the point is to be added, if he has any of material desires left. And yeah. Then he says he will enjoy there in the higher planetary systems. And then from there, if he has perfected, he can go back also from there. Something like that I read.
That I'm not sure, Madhuri, because I know that Prabhupada wrote two letters. And in the first letter, he mentioned about the material desire and he will go heavenly planets. And then, it's a Shastric injunction. Prabhupada also said many times that generally in the you cannot go to the spiritual world from the heavenly planets. That will not. It's a rare circumstance. Okay, and that's why we know that we have even if we go to the higher planets or to the lower planets, only Bharatvarsha or Bhoma, the land of Bharata or the Bhumandala, or and especially only within Bharatvarsha. One will, and not even the other dvipas surrounding Bharatvarsha. So only in Bharatvarsha actually one has the chance of utilizing the human form of life and to go back to Godhead. That's why we hear that demigods are also craving to come to this material world because they know that from here we can go back to Godhead. So generally it is not possible to go from heavenly planets to spiritual world. So one has to come down and one has to finish the business. Okay, then they will go back to Godhead. This is what I understand after reading Prabhupada's teachings and other Acharya's teachings, that from the heavenly planets, unless you get association of advanced Vaishnava and you get the mercy of advanced Vaishnava, it is not generally possible to go back to Godhead like that. Are you all able to hear me?
Yes. Hare Krishna.
Yeah. Okay. I was actually trying to experiment with other things on the Zoom. So, okay. Now Prabhupada, on one hand, he's saying that, in fact, not just that, Prabhupada also said that if any devotee, if they have a tinge of material desire, they have to come back to the material world, right? He also said like that. And he also says that, my initiated devotee is only three lifetime. Okay. And then Prabhupada also said, couple of occasions he said, just chant 16 rounds, follow regulative principles, and you will go back to Godhead in this life. So, and Deen Bandhu Prabhu is sharing this. A couple of other instances also Prabhupada says, you go back to Godhead. So then certain times Prabhupada says that you chant, you follow regulative principles, and you preach, and then you'll go back to Godhead, right? For the book distributors, Prabhupada say that if you distribute the books for the entire lifetime, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will personally come and pick you up.
Yeah, sometimes okay? He says, so, I have the backdoor key also.
Yeah, that yeah, also that's right. Sense. So, follow that, yeah, correct. So, when disciples, they are sharing Prabhupada about their anarthas and their lack of Krishna consciousness, because Prabhupada, so this begins with Prabhupada saying that you have to be 100% pure if you want to go back to the spiritual world. And then the disciples, they are tensed. Prabhupada can see the anxiety of disciples. So he say, okay, you have to be 90% pure. And then even then they are not satisfied. So Prabhupada says 80%. And then finally it settles down to 75%. And still devotees are a bit anxious because 75% is a big task for them. So then finally Prabhupada says, well, don't worry. Just catch hold of my dhoti and I will provide you entrance from the back door to the spiritual world. So we see that and now see, okay, all these things are there. Prabhupada said this, that, and so many things he said. But one thing we do know that what I've heard from Radhanath Maharaj, especially for Haigriv Prabhu, and Maharaj very clearly in his lecture, he mentions this many, he gives this example many times. And he says how Haigriv Prabhu was, how he attained special mercy of Prabhupada in his last days. And so he must have gone back to Godhead. Maharaj says that many times in his lectures. If you know Haigriv Prabhu, he is the one who actually was not following Krishna consciousness for a long period of time. He deviated. But because he was one of the most senior and initial disciples of Prabhupada, so Prabhupada did write to him in a letter that because you sincerely chanted the name of Krishna, sincerely chanted the name of Krishna in Vrindavan, you know, you will go back to Godhead, something that he wrote. And that's what happened. So when he deviated and he spent long time in sense gratification, so he contracted cancer. And because of that, cancer or some other disease, but he got, it was a terminal disease. And so he was about to pass away and he realized and repented a lot that I could have done so many things for Prabhupada, but I deviated and Prabhupada always asked about me, cared about me. And when he was about to pass, I think for 2-3 months continuously, he was inviting devotees, hearing from them every day, hearing kirtan from them, hearing katha from them, completely absorbed in Srimad Bhagavatam. And so what do you assume? Now, there is also an injunction that if you think of, remember Krishna at the time of that, and you develop bhava for him, then you go back to Godhead. So this is also, now see, what can you say? So here you can say that Jayanand Prabhu is more advanced than, Haigriv Prabhu or any other disciple who had fallen back. And they left Krishna consciousness, but they again came back. Or there are some devotees who did not leave the movement. They had fallen from their position of sannyas. They came down to Vriyastha, the Prabhupada disciples. And later on, Prabhupada saved them. Right? There are examples like that. So here there are less advanced devotees, you can say, at least on external sense. And Jayanand Prabhu definitely, he had no material desire. In fact, Prabhupada knew that very clearly. I think there is some very important understanding about his position is that the reason why Prabhupada asked Jayanand Prabhu's day to be celebrated, Disappearance Day, and why his picture should be there in Rath Yatra cart. See, if Prabhupada didn't knew that whether he had material desires or not, he would have not advised like that. So I think this letter, the first letter, it was actually an instruction for the disciples to come, set an example for them, so that they can follow a strict standard. They should not take it very easily, take for granted and very lightly. Okay, they must follow certain standard and they should give up sense gratification. I think that was an example which was clearly communicated, because if you are not sure about a person's material desire or not, how can you just ask for celebrating the disappearance of that person and how can you also, I mean, you know, you can, in every cart, how can you ask the person picture to be present? So definitely, I think Prabhupada knew that he, and Prabhupada, if you hear his glorification from Prabhupada, Prabhupada does mention this fact that he was selfless right from the beginning. When he was driving his car, taxi, whatever income he used to earn, every single penny that he earned, everything he gave to Prabhupada. It was not even Rupa Goswami standard of 50%, you know, 25%, 25%. It was not like that. Everything he gave to Prabhupada. So Prabhupada knew his standard right from the beginning. Plus, I have also heard about Jayananda Prabhu's extraordinary dealings with Prabhupada, in the sense that Prabhupada invited some devotees, and Jayananda Prabhu also came into his room, and Jayananda Prabhu sat at the back and he fell asleep during the conversation Prabhupada was having with other devotees. And Prabhupada did not say a single word to him. He did not chastise him. He did not say anything. When that conversation got over, Jayananda Prabhu woke up and they all left. And this godbrother of Jayananda Prabhu was sharing his realization that Jayananda had a very special relationship with Prabhupada, because Prabhupada, I think he understood Jayananda Prabhu's heart and mind. So he did not tell him anything, because he knew that he was completely pure and selfless right from the beginning. So this particular letter is, I think, an instructive letter for a lot of devotees. And the second letter is actually, I think, the yes, more
Prabhu,
personal.
The Jayananda Prabhu's, regarding Jayananda Prabhu's destination, no doubt, like Prabhupada's second letter, it clearly mentions like, yes, he must have definitely gone back.
I'm coming to the question, Mataji. I was just, because we were discussing about Jayananda Prabhu's two letters, so yeah. I was just elaborating.
So why I got, why I raised the Jayananda Prabhu's also, as you said, Prabhupada wanted to give that example or standard to all the devotees. If you have not perfected, if you have any material tinge, you'll go back to higher planetary systems and you have to come back again. So yeah, that going to higher planetary systems and coming back, by the time we come back, what could be our conditions like that? I got a little bit.
Correct. Yeah. I would say that, we should not take that very seriously of going to the higher planetary system. What we should be thorough is that we must stick to Prabhupada. We must. Prominent desire that we must have. Now see, let's say if we are conditioned in this life and we have other desires also, we want sense education also. That's okay. But I think genuine and sincere desire, the most important desire that we should have is that, okay, Prabhupada, I am conditioned, I have many desires, I have a lot of anarthas. My heart of heart, I would like to please you in the future. I just have one goal and I want to please you in the future. If you have that desire, I think Prabhupada will take care of it. You don't have to see, if you get into this kind of mentality, then you will get a lot of discouragement. Okay. And I think, I don't know, I'm not sure if the devotee was saying this as a humor, because definitely maybe, he's probably very strict standard of worship, which is fine. But I don't agree completely that devotees, they will go to the heavenly planets for a long time and they will come back, because Prabhupada also gave the assurance that for my initiated disciples, three lifetimes. There are so many other statements by Prabhupada where it is like Prabhupada also said that Nityananda Prabhu is extremely magnanimous. And that's how he said that, just by chanting 16 rounds and following the right principles, you will go back to Godhead. Now, of course, one may question that when we will go back to Godhead. Prabhupada did not mention that. But Prabhupada did mention many times that if we give our life to Krishna, in the sense that our priority and the majority of the period that we are in the material world, if we are centered around Krishna consciousness, then we'll go back to Godhead. So, I think that if a devotee has 25% anarthas, I think Prabhupada will take care of that. And if they have 40% anarthas, maybe they might have to come in another lifetime. And Prabhupada will give them chance to go again, get connected. So in that way, I guess maximum 3 lifetimes. Plus, see, one more thing I wanted to share. This is a very important thing. As you advance in spiritual life, you will actually realize and recognize that you are most unfit candidate to go back to Godhead. You are not fit to go back to Godhead because you are full of anarthas. Those who are really advanced, they will naturally feel like that. And those who are not that advanced, but at least through some theoretical knowledge and through experiences, we can definitely realize that we are not actually fit candidates for going back to Godhead. So why are we demanding our spiritual master Krishna to take us back to Godhead? I mean, if you are willing to surrender right now, right away, then maybe it's a valid, valid demand from the spiritual master or request, please consider and take me back to Godhead. But I think devotees become more and more concerned with service. They do not think so much about going back to Godhead then after some time. Okay, those who are advancing, those who become matured, they are not so much concerned about going back to Godhead. Because the faith is strong. The faith is strong. And I think the dependence on the Lord is also very important, in the sense that the pure devotional service means that you accept the desire of the Lord ultimately. So now I may probably have a desire that I don't want to go back to Godhead and I want to probably continue preaching, in the material world. But the Lord wants me back to Godhead. So I will accept that. And if I have a desire to go back to Godhead, but the Lord wants me to come in the next lifetime, right? So then, okay, that's also fine, because in the Shastra also we have examples where next lifetime is also a boon. It's also a boon to us. In the sense that, we increase our hankering, we can get more absorbed. The depth of Krishna consciousness will also increase. The intensity of absorption will also increase. For example, Vritrasura is there. Chitraketu Maharaj was there. Gajendra was there. So they had, the Lord gave them next lifetimes to increase their intensity of love for him or to attain a special type of prema. So I think we ourselves will start feeling that we have not, the thought that comes to my mind is, I would first think whether my spiritual master, I have satisfied my spiritual master or not. If I have not satisfied my spiritual master thoroughly, I would not even think of going back to Godhead. So this is very important. And those who have pleased the spiritual master, their main goal then becomes to please the spiritual master only, or to satisfy Krishna, desire of Krishna. So it does not matter for them. That's why in the Bhagavatam, and Prabhupada also said that whether you take birth here or there, it's everything is the same. Now, there is one risk here, and I think you are probably asking about that. And that risk is, what if we again come back in the next lifetime and then deviate from the process? Right? So what are the chances then?
Not deviating, Prabhu. Now, Sankirtan Agna is in full swing. By Prabhupada's mercy, it's going on perfect.
We don't have to be concerned about the Sankirtan movement. If your devotion is strong, Krishna will protect your devotion. And that is guaranteed in the Bhagavad Gita also. Right? So, you can speak about in the Bharat Varsha, Sankirtan movement is prominent. It will last for 10,000 years. But Prabhupada, when he's talking about hellish planets, we don't hear anything about Sankirtan in the hellish planets or in the heavenly planets, right? So Prabhupada is talking about going there and doing something to preach. So now, one thing we know for sure, that if you, your only goal is to please your spiritual master and to please Krishna, then you don't have to be bothered about anything. You don't have to be bothered whether Sankirtan is going. You will be the one who will start. You'll go somewhere and you start Sankirtan. And you will make devotees throughout. Okay. So that protection is guaranteed. And the protection, now the risk is, if we fall down, then what will happen? If we deviate, if we do not, you know, somehow, because we are definitely going to be sadhakas, let's say, if I passed away at the stage of anartha nivritti, and then next lifetime, I start from there. So, anartha nivritti is not an advanced stage. You know, there are chances that we can slip. So, in this regards, what I realize and understand is, if you have committed serious offenses to devotees, then only your bhakti will be temporarily be covered. And if you do not commit offenses, then I think you will definitely progress ahead in your spiritual life. Krishna will take care of that. So we see in those who have taken another birth, they have reached the level of bhava, but they took another birth because they had past offenses to great devotees. That's why the offenses covered their bhakti for some time and they had to come back. Right? So even now, in spite of offending the devotees in the previous life, when they came back in the next life, Krishna may give, you know, he must have given them different types of bodies, but he also gave them remembrance and he also allowed them to perfect their life. Okay. So that is very important. So he temporarily, the bhakti was covered in the next life as a deer. Jad Bharat, you know, Maharaj Bharat's life was covered, the devotional life was covered. But then immediately after giving the body of a deer, now again, even in the body of deer, he was fully conscious of Krishna. Okay. Although he did not attain perfection after leaving the body of a deer, but he did get another birth, which is the third lifetime, but he did attain perfection at the end and his bhakti was preserved. Okay. So, yeah. If we are careful about offenses, then definitely Krishna will preserve, protect our bhakti. But see, what is the use of this question? Because even if you know that you probably have to go to the heavenly planets, if that would make you surrender right away, then you know that's the best thing. And in that surrender mood also, you know, you will again, you know, your priority will be to please your Guru Maharaj. Okay. And even after hearing that we have to go to the heavenly planets, but still we continue with our anarthas and it will take long time for us to surrender, then why are we asking this question? Why are we discussing this? Because, you know, the point is, ultimately everything depends on us. I mean, Krishna has never created any kind of barrier for us if we want to progress in spiritual life. I think we are the ones who are actually going very slowly and gradually. Or we have reservations about ourselves, or we have some kind of attraction, attachment to the material world, and we don't want to give it up. So the idea is that, okay, you heard it. You know, why should we be concerned about it? Either you accept that, okay, you know, whatever Krishna will, but at least it is my desire that in the future I would like to serve him. At least that much desire is sufficient.
Why I raise this question is like, there will be new devotees who will be, I told, no, this was forwarded by the Bhaktiruksha member, newly joined member. So if right. We have to answer them, okay, we believe like, okay, Prabhupada will take care and our job is, our duty is just surrender to Guru and follow their instructions. And whatever happens, as Giriraj Maharaj told also, you don't worry, that will be taken care by your Guru or spiritual Acharya masters.
Correct.
So I want like any other reasons we can give to the new devotees. That's why I raised the topic, Prabhu.
Yeah, so we have to, I think we have to deal with them in a positive way. We don't have to show them the negative aspect of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, yeah. See, negative aspects, they will always discourage us. And I will tell you one thing, that you cannot expect a devotee to advance in fearful situations. Okay, or if you try to frighten them, or if you try to talk about hellish planets, you just speak on hellish, oh, if you are not doing this, you'll go to hell, or you will be facing this reaction, that reaction. if you focus on that, they will be completely discouraged. And they will not be able to appreciate the process of Krishna consciousness. Because the most important aspect is the enjoying aspect of Krishna consciousness, the relishment, you know, the taste in hearing the katha and appreciation. See, you know, and I think it is easy. It's quite, I think we can appreciate that we accept that we are conditioned and everyone is not ready to go back to God. That's a reality. Let us be clear with this. Let us be honest with this. Not everyone will go back to God in this lifetime. And it's okay. So we are not focusing that, oh, you will go back to God only if you do this, do that, do that. No, we are just trying to create a positive environment where you get natural inspiration and you start doing things on your own. And finally, you come to a level where you surrender on your own. Okay. So we can suggest devotees, we can guide them, but ultimately, you know, they have to follow that. We cannot do anything about it. But a very, you know, negative image of Krishna consciousness, you know, this is what the Christians do. This is what the Muslims do. If you do not follow this part, you go to hell. But Krishna is not like that. He participates 10 times if you surrender one time to him. So he also knows that not everyone is going to be able to go back to Godhead in one lifetime. Everyone has their own conditionings and others. And who knows, probably it is the desire of the Lord that he wants us to come in the next lifetime. And he has some important seva for us. That also is possible. We may think that, okay, we are just thinking of this lifetime. But then next lifetime, maybe there are many things to be achieved. And so the Lord, maybe he can make you an instrument. So you may be at a certain stage when you leave the body, but the next life you may continue from that stage. And at the same time, the Lord will probably empower you to do some service. And then you will feel that, okay, it does not matter. Even if I took a second life, it does not matter for me because I am still serving the Lord. See, this is what we have to understand. The service is more important, whether in this life, that life. That's why here we are, you know, we began our class by discussing that the fact that the acharyas, they don't go back to Godhead. So they are not concerned about that. They are not bothered because they know that ultimately it's desire to please the Lord. So even if you are going to the heavenly planets to enjoy and coming back, but still you are coming back. So that's okay. What can we say about that? You know, if the desire is extremely strong, it's very prominent, then Krishna may allow you to go to heavenly planets and enjoy. But then he will again ask you to come back and you will continue from where you left off. So basically, we cannot expect things from the Lord and his representative. We have to evaluate our own situation, where we are at. And we have to also accept that it's a gradual process for many of the devotees. It's going to be the same for everyone. So it's okay. You know, we have to inspire them. We have to just focus on what they like to do in Krishna service, Krishna consciousness. Any particular service, any particular limb of bhakti that they are most attached to or attracted to. So they have to cultivate that. And it's a process of anartha nivritti, because bhajana kriya starts by meeting devotees and then the anartha nivritti starts. Over a period of time, they will also start understanding, because they keep hearing from devotees. They will also read and understand shastra. They will also introspect on their own lives. They will get to know that we are full of anarthas. We have so much ego. We are not able to accept certain things. So all these realizations will come, but they have to stick to the process. That is the most important. Devotees should not be discouraged from doing acts of devotional service. That's the main focus. So, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. These three are the most potent limbs. And all the devotees should be, you know, they should be encouraged to very positively cultivate these feelings. Yeah, so is that okay, Madhuri?
Yes, Prabhuji, thank you. Terrible.
Okay. Yeah, so Vinita Mataji, we are not able to, are you there? I don't know if you're there, but we are not able to, will not be able to read now further.
Mataji left Prabhu. I think she got disconnected because of speed of Wi-Fi.
Oh, okay. Okay, so any devotees, they have any comments or questions on this, what we discussed?
No, Prabhuji. Thank you.
Yeah. Aditra? Are you there, Aditra? Okay. Yeah. So, all right, then we can end the class. And next week, next weekend, let's have Kirtan also. We can start maybe 15 minutes earlier. Okay, all right. So, thank you all the devotees for joining. You have the recording file, right?
Yeah, I will forward it, Prabhu. Maybe by tomorrow morning, I'll send it.
Yeah, okay, all right. And I think my voice was pretty clear, right, for the entire conversation.
Yeah, it's almost clear, Prabhu. There's no disturbance.
Okay, good, yeah. All right. Thank you, devotees, for joining. Hare Krishna, Dhanva Pranam to everyone.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, Dhanva Pranam.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, Nanda Pranam.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Hare Krishna, all devotees.